The federal government has signed off on its new workplace bill entitled Secure Jobs, Better Pays. The government has expressed intentions for this bill to be an implement that will help close the gender pay gap. Additionally, Workplace Relations Minister Tony Burke confirmed the legislation would ban pay secrecy clauses, which would aim to prevent companies from discouraging discussions about pay from employees. Madhura Prakash asked Dr. Fiona McDonald from the Centre for Future Work what were the benefits from these changes.
Well, pay secrecy clauses are particularly problematic in terms of women being able to negotiate or bargain for better wages, and they contribute to the gender pay gap by creating cultures of secrecy in workplaces, as well as explicitly pay secrecy clauses explicitly prohibiting workers from being able to talk to their colleagues or others about their pay. That leaves women who may be less inclined to bargain or negotiate individually for higher wages, as you know, women face more workforce barriers than men do. Women may, you know, can be made to feel that where they require workplace flexibility to look after children or meet other family or care responsibilities, that you know, they're having special favours done from them, which is not the case at all, obviously, but women just tend to be less, because of all of those reasons, less likely to individually bargain for better wages, and they're less likely to collectively bargain for better wages if they're not aware of what the other wages in their workplace or, you know, relative to their wages.
In the Financial Sector Union's 2022 report, The Price of Silence, they speak about employers verbally discouraging discussions about pay and potentially implementing informal policies. Do you know if this government bill would be effective in banning that aspect of pay secrecy?
I don't know that. I think that might be difficult to do. However, I think by banning formal pay secrecy clauses, once people understand that and there's an education about that, that creates a culture where people know that it's not okay to not, you know, to be told not to talk about pay. You know, it actually shifts things completely, and people become aware that it's an okay thing to, you know, and that there should be pay transparency. So it makes it, well, I suppose what I'm saying is it makes it much more difficult for employers to continue cultures of pay secrecy where there is, across the economy, a ban on formal pay secrecy.
Could you speak to the aspects of this bill that will address the gender pay gap? I know multi-employer bargaining was one.
So I think that many of the provisions in this new bill are focused on that. So first of all, there's low-pay, multi-employer bargaining. I think they're talking about targeting low-paid industries, and they will be feminised industries. So that will help if, you know, a big contributor to the gender pay gap is these low-paid, large, you know, hundreds of thousands of women in low-paid, feminised industries. Then they're also proposing new panels for the Fair Work Commission, one on the care and community services sector and one on pay equity. And they're also proposing to include an equal pay objective in the Fair Work Act. Objectives. So those three things mean that the Fair Work Act finally has a gender lens over it. So they're really important changes, along with the pay transparency.
In that vein, the workplace minister stated women should not be paid less than men. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. But these have been, you know, long-standing issues, so potentially not that simple. How do you think these measures will go to address the pretty heavily entrenched systematic issues that are involved in gender pay inequality?
I think you're right, Madhura. They really are entrenched issues, and they're complex issues. And they have the potential, if they're successful, I mean, they do aim to actually deal with some of the complexities. So if you have a care and community services panel, for example, on the Fair Work Commission, that can understand how rostering arrangements can make it very difficult for women in the highly feminised industries, women and all workers in the highly feminised industries that provide care, how it prevents them from getting adequate working hours, so that and that actually contributes to the gender pay gap. So you don't normally kind of think so much about things like that. And this it's a beginning for actually kind of providing the mechanisms that can cast a much closer gender lens across all the operations. So So, yeah, it's a very complex and entrenched problem, but I think we should be really welcoming these changes.
Dr. Fiona MacDonald, Policy Director on Industrial and Social at the Centre for Future Work, speaking there with Madhura Prakash.